prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield. There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello, my friends, and welcome. This is Pastor Butch Paul, 6th day of January 2026. Welcome to this broadcast. I'm so glad you're with us, and I mean that, and I truly do. And again, I don't have anything on special to talk about tonight, so I'll give the number to the office. Folks, you know, we have limited supplies here as far as we offer through the ministry. I don't have a lot of things I can just put up space for every month on, because we just don't have that the stuff here to do it with. But anyway, if you want to call and order anything, or if you want to talk to me, just call a toll-free number. If you don't have long distance, please remember the number, 800-777-4403. 800-777-4403. And if you can call long distance, folks, I'd appreciate if you use the toll number, 304-846-4448. 304-846-4448. You can call anytime between 9 and 5 Eastern, 5 days a week normally. If you have any questions, comments, leave a message in case Faith is bound to answer the telephone. She'll call you back. But that's what we're here for. We're here to try to help if we can. And folks, I keep saying this over and over. If you folks were not there for us, we couldn't be here for you. So I want to thank you, and thank you for your sweet notes and letters and phone calls. It is, I don't know how to explain this, but I feel so humbled almost to tears that you write such kind words to me and thank me for what I'm doing. And I do appreciate that. But give all praise to our Father in heaven. I'm just a servant just like you are. But thank you for the encouragement. Sometimes after 33 years, it get to be quite a burden to manage and run and I guess you can say and produce it by myself as far as guests and different things for 33 years. It's a long time. By the grace of God, though, we're still here. And by his grace and mercy, you're still there. It's a team effort. I can't do it by myself. That's a fact. So thank y'all being part of the Call to Decision team. I do appreciate it. Our guest cannot make it tonight. All I say is keep John in your prayers. I won't get into all the reasons why, but keep John in your prayers, please. He's a man that's struggling to make sure he's working for Christ. Just keep John in your prayers. Now, I want to talk tonight about a couple of things, folks, because I don't think I'm almost certain I'm older than just by anybody out there listening. At least 95% of you. You know, being 77 years old, almost an what they call oxygenarian or whatever it is, 80-year-old individual, I've seen a lot of things come and go in my lifetime. I've been through different things, served in the Vietnam era, briefly in Nam and Thailand and places. I was been in Crete, Greece, and I've been to London, England, and Paris, France, just short periods of time, though, moving around with what I did in the military. I worked for the Strategic Air Command, which is a communications operations, and we worked with the CIA as underlings for them on communications and intelligence gathering. That's what we did. Not, I'm just telling you what my life was and what it's been through. And we got through high school, went into military, come home, and got out of the military after 3.5 years in April of 71, got rehitched in November of 71, and still serving that term. How's that? Still in. I haven't made the rank of sergeant yet in this new one, but anyway, that's my life in a nutshell, I guess you say. By the grace of God, I got to rear three sons. All of them turned out to be decent young men. They're not druggies. They're not criminals. They're not wife beaters. They're not drunkards. To be three pretty good men. And the youngest now is 47 years old. So that'll tell you something. So I told you all that to just let you know some of my background, to know what I'm talking about tonight is something I've seen with my own eyes. I've been through it growing up in a time when my daddy, when I was a young boy growing up in Montreville, West Virginia, my dad and mom were staunch Democrats. I mean staunch. Remember one time on the ballot, they had above the Republicans, they had an eagle, and above the Democrats, they had a chicken. Now, I'm serious, I'm not making this up. Don't know why they picked that. I remember mom was going to vote, and one of her friends said, just put your mark under the chicken. I mean, you vote a straight ticket. I remember that. They were staunch Democrats because Democrats were for the poor folks, Republicans were for the rich folks. People actually believe that. And maybe it's true to a point. I don't know. But I grew up then, of course, as a Democrat for years. And even after I got married then, I looked the other side, Republicans making more sense. Democrats, I switched Republican. And I voted Republican pretty much straight down the line every time. Then I got to realizing nothing's changing. It's just getting worse. So I didn't give up on that. I joined the Constitution Party and supported candidates that run the Constitution Party in the state. We never did get really on the ballot to speak of. So it was kind of spinning your wheels, not getting anywhere. Third parties are pretty much locked out about everywhere, especially in the national level. They don't want them running against anybody. Even if they make the qualifications, they don't include them in debates because they don't want any competition. So after all this, I've said all this to make this point. After all that and all that experience, I figured out this was not a political game. Oh, it may be political, but it wasn't a game that we were meant to win. I say we, you and I, the common people. It was never meant for us to come out ahead on both sides. Had pretty well planned out for their own greed, their own power, and their own control. Now, a lot of y'all don't want to believe that, and I'm sorry. Doesn't change the fact. I mean, I would think after Trump got into office a second term, but now most people that support him realize he's worse than the last one in a lot of ways. Perhaps better in some ways, but much worse than others. I mean, this man wants to conquer Greenland and Mexico and Cuba and Colombia. Already taking over Venezuela, apparently. Now he's telling Venezuela they have to quit doing business with China and Russia and clean up their act before they ship any more oil out of their ports to these nations. They shut down the ports. Now, maybe that seems like the same thing to do for some people. To me, I think maybe he's causing us to bite off more than we can chew. I would like to think that the people would have woken up enough to see we can't do this. We have to stop this. We have to stand against this and just refuse and say no. I was... Went in the Air Force in 1967 when the draft was still on, and I wanted somewhat of a choice I could do in the military, so I didn't get drafted. I wanted a little bit of a choice. I didn't make a very good choice at the time, but it's the best I thought I could do. I mean, it's what I made a choice. But I look back now, and I wonder, I mean, I heard about draft dodgers. I got very angry. People moved to Canada to get out of the draft. I remember talking to Mel Gibson's dad, Mel Gibson Hutton. Mel Gibson's dad, Hutton, was a good friend of mine for several years. And we talked about different things, and he moved to Australia with his family to keep his boys from getting drafted into the military. And it wasn't so much that they were opposed to fighting a war, if it were a just war. Well, folks, we haven't had a just war for many, many, many years. World War II was fortunate upon us by our leaders, including Roosevelt, who knew what was going to happen before it happened. There hadn't been a real just war, in my opinion, since 1861. And we won't get into that right now, but just to make that point in my mind. And that was a forced confrontation from different powers in charge. After a while, you would think after the Korean War and other wars that people were called on to, hey, this war in Vietnam is nothing but another police action. That's what they called it. But I always called it a war because I figure if I'm shooting somebody and shooting back at me, there's a war going on. And 60,000 men died in that war actively. A lot of them are still missing, which I'm sure they're dead now. And many more died of Agent Orange. When they came home, I'm a diabetic myself because Agent Orange killed my pancreas. Been diabetic for 35 years or thereabouts, 30 years. Many more died from Agent Orange. I had a friend named Carl Donaldson who died from cancer, leukemia from Agent Orange. So thousands more have died and become ill because of the Vietnam War. And since then, of course, we've been through all of the globe. You know, we've been Guatemala or Guatemala. We've been in Iraq, and we've been all different places in the globe in wars. Again, police actions are protecting our democracy and other places in the world. But we seem to never learn. War becomes such a habit for the United States that it's got to be no longer. It's a ho hum situation. This bores me to talk about. I mean, it's no big deal. We always have to have wars. There's always some bad guy we got to go get. Never mind that. The powers that be, General Smedley said, Bedley Butler said, war's a racket. Never mind that people becoming billionaires from what they make for the military and other sources that they need to other needs that they have that people get rich off of, supplying needs to the military, and the wars are very, very productive and profitable for certain people. So well, if it costs the lives of 100,000 young people. Who cares? Well, if it takes 1 million, who cares? They're indispensable. So please don't fool yourself to thinking that any politician in office today that I know of, but very few exceptions maybe, very few, are out to try to make this a better place for us, for you and I to live, to bring peace to the globe, and let the American people prosper. I know they talk about it. They say it all the time. And sometimes they throw us a tidbit. Sometimes they throw us a little bite of something, say, hey, I told you I was going to do this for you. But it never really changes, does it? It just gets worse and worse as time goes along. Now, why is it we become such a naive, ignorant people, complacent people, lazy people? Why did it happen? I'm going to read two verses for you out of Deuteronomy chapter 28. Got quite a bit to talk about tonight, folks, and I'll get you a phone call sometime after a while. I always do. Deuteronomy 28, I'm going to read two verses to you there if you don't mind. Just two verses. It's a chapter of blessings and cursings. In our nation, when I was growing up back in the 50s, and I know for y'all out there, man, that's most of y'all have no idea what I'm talking about because you're nowhere near my age. But I grew up in the 50s. Where boys looked like boys and girls dressed like girls, and they both knew what they were. And you treated young girls as ladies. If you didn't, you got your tail end smacked. You didn't do any cussing and swearing. You didn't get involved in a lot of things. I mean, the worst thing we ever did back then, I never did this because I never was interested in it, but some boys might get caught smoking a cigarette out behind the barn or maybe milk. or corn silk if they don't have cigarettes. They did some things like that, perhaps. They wasn't drugs. They were not boozing. I mean, it's a very rare situation to hear about a young boy or girl getting in trouble with the law. One girl I remember my whole life growing up through high school, become pregnant outside of wedlock, and she wasn't proud of it. She was ashamed of it. And that's the way it should have been. That's the way it was. Not any longer. That's the way it used to be. And shacking up, or the Bible calls fornication, was very rare. It happened. In our little community called Monterville, West Virginia, one couple did that, and they were run out of town. You say, well, it's terrible. No, it's not terrible. The standards were expected and kept. They were told to leave the town, and they did. That's the way it used to be in America. Today, we all look at it, shrug our shoulders. Well, what can I do? Well, why should I care? I mean, it took a lot of years from go from running people out of town for fornication up to 1973 to start murdering babies, and nothing was done about it. A lot of years, a lot of conditioning, a lot of mind control. A lot of men had to become neutered, well, castrated. Women had become more masculine. Things had to change for that to happen. It didn't happen overnight. It took a while. It started back really in the 60s. Now, the point I'm trying to make is this. When we were a nation that was still blessed and somewhat godly, we were already being duped by the so-called powers that be, around the world, but here in America especially. We started putting the trust in man and not worshiping God. We started taking God's gifts for granted and letting them slide from us because we didn't need me longer. Let me read to you two verses, Deuteronomy 28, read verse 47 and 48. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness, let me repeat that, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, and we had it at one time, folks, in America. When I grew up, you very seldom, if ever, saw a foreign-made car or vehicle of any kind. Very seldom. Everything made in the USA, appliances, ammunition, everything that you bought back then was made in the USA overall. 99% of it, I would say, anyway. We had abundance, plenty to eat. We could afford to eat. But because we didn't serve the Lord our God with joyfulness and gladness of heart, therefore, verse 48, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things, and he shall put a yoke upon iron upon thy neck until he has destroyed thee. Now he's talking to Israel. If you got my teaching on American prophecy, you know who that is. If you didn't, sorry about that. But we're seeing what happened to America. We were prospering. No, my mom and dad were not rich by any means. We didn't have a bathroom until I was in my teens. We had an outhouse. And we all probably know you never experienced the idea of going to the outhouse, especially in the wintertime when snow was up to your tail and you couldn't get the door open. You had to go real bad. It was cold inside there. You didn't stay up here very long. But we had an outhouse. We didn't have running water. All we had running water, had to run over the hill to the pump and get it. We had a well in the house probably the time I was 13 or so. A well that had water in the house. It was cold in the house at night because that we had a stove in the front room. We had a wooden coal stove in the front room. Dad did not trust the chimney. He let the fire go out at night because he was afraid that the house catch on fire. We got to cold night that our drinking water in the bucket from the pump you used to get in would freeze at night on top. You had to break the ice with a dipper to get a drink of water. And all was drunk out of the same dipper. Amazing. Wow. But anyway, things were tougher in some ways, but simpler and much more blessed in other ways. The respect neighbors had for each other was there. Don't care what your name was. I don't care who you were. You were respected. Your property was honored and not touched. And we got along fine with the neighbors overall. But since we turn our back on God and no longer thanking for abundance or blessings, no longer serve him with joyfulness, but turn their back on him, went to man, Jeremiah 17:5 will tell you what happens then. We now wearing the yoke of our enemies. No, we're not yet under the rule of a foreign king, so to speak, although we are under the rule of a king and a government that absolutely doesn't care about you, except that they can milk you for a paycheck. We now serve our enemies under bondage. And you know that's true. Very true. I mean, it started long before you and I were born, but it's nonetheless it's true. In the 1950s, one of the books I wrote, one of the chapters was entitled The Last Decade of Innocence. But I can remember this. There was a leader of Russia named Nikita Khrushchev. He was in office back in the 50s, and he said a couple things. I remember him beating his shoe on the podium at a meeting and talking and yelling. But he said a couple things here. Whether you like it or not, he said, history is on our side. We will bury you. Never happened to America, by golly. No, sir. He went on to say the United States will eventually fly the communist red flag. The American people will hoist it themselves. Never in America. They said that. He said one in 1956 and one in 1962. Never happened. May I submit to you that it is happening? It has happened and still going on, only increasing right now. Do you know we have been invaded by our enemies without firing a shot? They now control our cities and towns. And we have a mayor in New York now that lit up some buildings to glorify the Muslim faith. We've been conquered. Just like the Khrushchev said, we've been conquered and didn't fire a shot. Why is that? Because we're lazy, complacent, apathetic, ignorant, and flat-out stupid. The word stupid, according to the Bible, is bestial, which means stupid and insensible. That's exactly why. We turn the back on God, didn't want to serve him with joyfulness, and didn't want to trust him any longer, so we started trusting man. And I remember when, I don't remember all this happening, I wasn't around then, but we had the Great Depression, which is a man-made item to get us into this situation. And they started out with WPA, Working People of America. And they started out with that, getting people to giving the government pay for the job, building parks and cleaning up forests, whatever. But it's okay. Government got involved. It's called socialism. Then, of course, we went into Social Security. Then went into what we used to call commodity, that before food stamps. If you qualified, you got a box of cheese and other things. There was good cheese, by the way. You got a box of cheese and the flour and rice, whatever. You got to pick up a box of food and bring it home. So we turned our back on God, no longer served him with joyfulness, no longer served him, no longer trusted him. We turned to man. That's what Khrushchev meant when he said, we will conquer you without firing a shot. They did it incrementally. We turned from the God that once protected us and we served to mankind to do that. We are now seeing and reaping the fact that we're no longer free people. I know that people want to hear that, but it's just the truth, whether you like it or not. And very few preachers will speak up today and say anything about it because it makes them lose their audience. People get mad at them, and they leave the churches. But I'm going to tell you what, I'd rather have 10 in the body of Christ that I know can count on to walk with me in Christ than with 100 I got to fight with all time. Martin Luther said this one time, if I profess with the loudest voice and clearest exposition, every portion of the truth of God, except precisely that point which the world and the devil are at that moment attacking, then I am not confessing Christ, however boldly I may be professing him. The cowards in the pulpit today, the name and claiming preachers, are raking up millions of dollars, living really, I guess you'd call, he's called high on the hog. They're preaching half-truths of any truth at all. They're tickling people's ears, as a Bible prophesied would happen, and they're raking in bundles of money, living really well on a false gospel, but who cares? They're pauper prostitutes, but they're paid well. That's very true. You know, Webster said this, and I want to let you listen to this a minute. The Christian religion is the most important and one of the first things in which all children under a free government ought to be instructed. No truth is more evident to my mind than that the Christian religion must be the basis of any government intended to secure the rights and privileges of a free people. The opinion and human reason left without the constraint, one more time, the opinion and human reason left without the constant control of divine laws and commands will preserve a just administration, secure freedom and other rights, restrain men from violations of laws and constitutions, and give duration to a proper government is as absurd or impossible as the most extravagant ideas that enter the head of a maniac. He said, without the laws of God, in man, that's us, in the general populace, in the citizens of the country, without that being there, and that they demanded to be right, like we did a couple of shacking up in Monterey, West Virginia, was told to leave the town, as long as we tolerate that immorality among our leaders and those who feed us today, and they do feed us, get over it, they feed you. And you pay taxes to them so they can do that. Get over it. You're a slave in your own nation already. You own nothing. You don't own your home. You don't own your car. You don't own anything. And if you're living off man and taxpayer, you're told where to go to doctor, how to go to doctor, what to do all the time. We have lost it, folks, because we no longer serve God with joyfulness of heart. We turn our back on him and trust in man. We become a fearful people. And fearful people are very easily controlled. That's why we're in the mess we're in right now. That's why we're living in this hellhole we now call America. It's no longer America. Let me just tell you, folks, I'm telling you the truth tonight because I love you. I'm not trying to make you angry, but if you are, that's your problem. I hope I either make you angry or happy, one or the other. If I make you happy preaching the truth, that means that you know the truth and you're living by it. If it makes you angry, at least you're thinking about it. I got your attention. It's the ones in between that can't reach it bother me. So getting angry at me doesn't make me feel a bit bad. Please feel free to get angry at me. And by the way, I'm reading these quotes out of a book that my brother Daryl Eberhardt put together many years ago and sent to me entitled Quotations to Read and Ponder. Yes, I've got some quotations in there myself, actually. And he sent this to me, and I had him print it up. Quotations to Read and Ponder. They're available through the ministry. I don't know the price of them. If you want to read some great quotations from good people and bad people, you call the office tomorrow and tell them I want a copy of this. I don't know the price. Faith don't have the price. Quotations to Read and Ponder. They're available. 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448. And if you want to know the truth, you got to work for it sometimes, folks. Just can't sit back with your duff and fun TV set and expect to find the truth out there. You're not going to find it on ABC and CBS. You're not going to find it in too many ministries either. But you're hearing tonight. Back at the break.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling Demand of Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give Demand a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to Nemana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Hi there, and thank you so much for listening. This is Summer. I'm owner and operator here at Superior Mountain Herbs. Please visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com. You can always call or text 406-274-7000. 7579. We'd be happy to assist you with any of your health and wellness needs, whether you're currently combating serious disease and infection like cancer, or you're just simply looking to keep your body in great shape and maintain what God has already given you. You can visit us and we would absolutely love to help you. Once again, visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com or give us a call at 406-274-7579 to get your hands on some of the most incredible handcrafted, organic, and wildcrafted supplements on the planet. SuperiorMountainHerbs.com.
Hello, James McKenna here for JMCC Water Filters. We're having two amazing specials on the Gravity Water Filter Elements. This is for the Berkey-style water filters. Our own HI water filter elements, the best two-stage water filter elements you can buy, and also the least expensive. On sale, $199 for a four-pack, $378, that's $20 off. For an 8-pack, you buy 8, we send you 10. And the 12-pack, an amazing $100 off. That's for $497 for a 12-pack, and we send you 14. Also, the whole house water filter, typically $1,480, now on sale for an amazing $699. Call Pastor Butch office, 800-777-4403. That's 800-777-4403, while this amazing sale is still on. Thank you.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here. A lot of y'all are asking me to give our address out on the air, and I never take time during the interviews, but here's our address. If you want to write to us, send us a letter, say hello, or place an order, or whatever you want to do, our address is simple. It's Pastor Butch Paul, P-A-U-G-H, or call to Decision Ministries. The address is 224 Heard, that's spelled H-U-R-D, 224 Heard Road, Netty, N-E. T-T-I-E, N-E-T-T-I-E, West Virginia, 26681. 224 Heard Road, Netty, West Virginia, 26681. There you go. Thanks a lot.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war. Brothers, hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill.
All right, folks, we are back. If you want to go ahead and fill the phone lines up, if you want to talk to me, you can. 717-300-1698. 717-300-1698. And I know tonight's message is straight up and down hard, straightforward, but it's the truth. And I simply cannot. I cannot preach anything but the truth is best to understand it and can share it. Because the day coming, according to the last chapter of Hebrews, that I got to give an account for what I preach and what I teach. I don't want my father to say, why did you lie to these people? I make mistakes, I'm sure. But I don't want to intentionally lie to you. I've told you the truth because I love you. I was talking to Todd, our producer there, during the break, and I got to say this in front of Todd. He's one of the best producers ever had. He's absolutely top-of-the-line type of guy. But anyway, I was trying to help him and everybody else listening to understand what I'm trying to say tonight. We think about God as an abstract individual that has no feelings. That he's just there. He's all-powerful and almighty and knows all things and does all things. But he doesn't react like people do. He doesn't have a temper. He does. Christ didn't weep. The Bible says he did. But anyway, they don't have feelings, I guess you could say. Well, I beg to differ. He does. And when he has to curse his people and judge his people, his anger is very, very complete. Read Ezekiel 38 and 39 and read the future of America and part of Europe. I taught it. You want it? You can have it. But you won't get it because you don't want to hear the truth. It makes you uncomfortable. You got to spend $25 or something to get 3 hours worth of teaching and material go with it. I'm not being mad at anybody here. You know what I'm talking to. You don't want to hear it because it makes you uncomfortable. No way I won't be able to go sleep in that. I won't wait for the rapture. I know all these. I hear it all the time. Let me try to explain something to you on my level that I can understand it. I'm talking now to the men. It can be the same thing for the women. But you've been married for 20 years. As a husband, you try to take care of your family. You worked hard. You put a roof over their head, tried to feed them and clothe them. You tried to love them with everything you had in you. Then you find out that your wife's been cheating on you. She found another man she wants more than you, or at least part of you more than you. Yet she may have told you all along she loves you. She may have done her earthly duties as far as feeding and cooking for you, but she cheated on you, or he cheated on you, whatever it may be. I never had to face that, but I can only imagine what that would do to a man or a woman inside that loved their spouse with everything they could, provided for them the best they could, and they cheat on them. There was another man. For whatever the reason may be, they cheat on them. I can only imagine how much that would hurt, how angry I would be. I mean, I don't know how I'd handle that. I really don't. But you did your best to take care of them and take care of her and really want and did everything you knew how to do, not perfectly because you're a man or a woman. You're not perfect. But you did everything that you knew how to do or understood to do, and she cheated on you or he cheated on you. How do you think our Heavenly Father feels when he provided for us, took care of us, protected us, and we turned our back on him and cheated on him? How do you think he feels when we betray him? How do you think how Christ felt when his disciples betrayed him? You see, we don't think about these things. When a woman or man cheats on a spouse, they can say they love them all day long, but they're damnable liars, aren't they? They're liars. Because you don't hurt somebody you love intentionally. You don't tear apart mentally, spiritually, and destroy them by doing something that evil and that corrupt. You don't do that if you love them. You're a liar. You're a liar if you say you do. How much more so can we look at our Heavenly Father and say, well, we love you, but I trust man's ways more. Instead of repenting and praying for our country, I'm going to vote for somebody else. I know that they can fix it. Can we not see, folks, that our nation is going to hell and wars are imminent? No, Matthew 24, verse 6 says, the rumors of wars are, that doesn't mean the end is yet. No, it doesn't mean the end is yet, does it? But can you not see Ezekiel 38 coming true when God said, I'm going to put a hook in Russia's mouth and pull him back against Israel? Can you not see maybe Trump may be the one setting some of those hooks right now? Or do we not care? I mean, are we so fat, lazy, and happy that we just don't care about what's going on? You tell me. I mean, what is it that you think our Heavenly Father, one that gave us this country through a lot of hard times and hard knocks, and it started falling apart long before 1900. It started falling apart back in the late 1800s. People were already corrupting everything from the Constitution right on down and destroying many things. But it got much, much worse over the years. Much, much worse. We've ignored God's warnings in his scriptures. He's been slow to anger, folks. He's been very slow to anger. He's been very patient. But America has crossed the line for salvation for a nation. No individuals can be born again, but America has sinned to the point of no redemption now. Forget it. It's over. You can get angry if you want to, but you don't care. America cannot turn back again. And there would have to be a nationwide repentance, but it's not going to happen. The people's heart become too hardened, too callous, too indifferent, too corrupted. We were wealthy as a nation. We had wealth and a worldwide fame as a country. People respected us. They feared us. Now we're the laughingstock of the world. People, the nations hate us. We become an empire. We started spreading our wings all over, our wings and power over the earth to become an empire. Empires always end in a hellish way. America is no difference. It's no different at all. We quit having a compassion for righteousness, and we start having a compassion for lust and things. We quit striving to do God's will and started doing our will. I know this is hard preaching, but I ask you, I defy you to show me where I'm not teaching the Bible and telling the truth. Show me where I'm wrong. America, de Tocqueville said one time back in the early 1800s, America is great because America is good. When America ceases being good, she'll cease being great. This is not the land I grew up in. Not even close to being the same country I knew. It's not the enemy's fault. It's not Satan's fault. Now, you can blame if you want to. He can't make you do anything. You do it because you want to. He didn't force Adam and Eve to eat the apple. They would say an apple. Eat the forbidden fruit. He didn't force them to do that. He tempted them, but he didn't force them. Yes, we've been tempted, perhaps. Maybe easy riches or easy living, but whatever it was, we become a lazy, indifferent people against right and wrong, good and evil. We accepted evil because it got to be part of society. Become part of society because the people accepted it. And the churches in America that once used to preach hellfire and brimstone become society clubs to go in and get your ears tickled and your feel-good sermonette for the week and go home and live like hell again. That's America today. You can blame a lot of things, folks. Blame a lot of people. But the blame lies squarely at the feet of the people in America. More squarely in the church houses of America, even more squarely behind the pulpits in America. I've never ever get called to preach anywhere. Well, last time I was called to preach was in Wisconsin with Rob Pugh, and I didn't get it because both times I had a flight schedule, they were canceled. That's true. I'm telling you the truth. One because of weather, one because the plane broke down and was parked at the terminal. I'm glad it didn't break down the air with me in it anyway. But anyway, I didn't make it. He's the last one to ask me to come and preach for a long, long time. Because I would preach a sermon like this most places. And people don't want to hear that any longer. It hurts your feelings. You know what that is? I carry in my briefcase I take with me Bible study a pacifier. We used to call him as a little boy, because they used to call him sugar tits. I know, you offend me there. Well, get over it. But they would take sugar, wrap it up inside of the washcloth, put a band or something around it, and then let the baby suck on that because it's sweet and it tasted good. That would make him, that would pacify him. So I get the word pacifier from. I carry one in case somebody's feelings is hurt. Now, if you got feelings hurt tonight, let me know and I'll send you a pacifier. Because I'm not here to tickle ears. I'm not here to please you. I've lost listeners because I told the truth about the so-called Jews and no longer Jews. I lost listeners because I talked about the Mormons. I lost listeners because I exposed the Catholics and the Baptists, all of them. But I don't care. I'm still on the radio by God's grace. If it be his will, go off tomorrow and nobody quit supporting me, that's his will, so be it. But I will not lie to you. I won't do it. Let's go and take a phone call. Let's talk to Joe right here in West Virginia. Joe, come on in.
Thank you for taking my call, Butch. You know, you mentioned something earlier about Martin Luther. There's a phrase he said that I love. He said, each day coming before the Lord is like being born again daily. And I love that phrase. I do. And I want to say this. Martin Luther didn't, no one, people named the church after him. He didn't do it himself. He did not want anybody, according to the Augsburg Confessions, to name a religion after him because he knew the dangers of denominationalism. And I did want to say that. But, Butch, I remember the days that it didn't matter which denomination you went to. And most of them, some of them were pretty crazy denominations, even my days or our days. But they reverenced God. They loved him. And it didn't matter where you went, you were told right from wrong. And I don't see that in church today.
No,
in fact, what I see in a church today is this new theology, or what I call replacement theology, woke theology, is that Jesus was just a good man, full of love, and we can't judge. And I can remember as a boy growing up, you stepped out of line, you heard about it.
And you were judged quite quickly, weren't you? You were judged back then.
Oh, yeah, and if your parents didn't do it, your neighbor parents did do it.
Yeah.
And you didn't like the consequences when they went talking to your mom and dad. They because the sermon got started all over again, called the Board of Education. you just didn't step out of line. John Wesley said that those who tolerate things today will embrace them tomorrow. Well, Butch, we're already embracing them.
Yes, we are.
And that's the saddest thing. Faith is not like it used to be. It is all feel-good, dopamine, get-a-high fix. And I've been in some of those churches, and they just push the dopamine high. And when
it,
you listen to the, yeah, and it is it's a feel-good theology, which is some of the most dangerous theologies coming out of some of these religions now.
Well,
and
if you want to raise money, don't tell the truth.
Oh, if you want to raise the money, all you got to do is you tell them you're a prophet. Tell them that you want $1,000, and if anything less than $10, you've got to be offended. You watch how fast people give you money, especially when you tell them how good it is. And all you got to do is get on the internet, look up Facebook, and find a profile of somebody on there and say, hey, look what we got. I got this person here, and this is what he is, and I'm just going to prophesy over him. Well, you know, you're busy looking at your tablet, but you're preaching. Yeah, of course. Or you got an earbud in your ear, and your wife's telling you what so-and-so and such row and who requesting a prayer or has a problem. Yeah, I mean, it's just sometimes, Butch, I've been studying this in the last few weeks, and some of these characters out there, it's like a Ringling Brother Barnum and Bailey circus.
Yes, it is. It's all entertainment. Good points, Joe. Well, good points.
Not just entertainment. You know, we came across a verse in Mark. It said, many will come in my name who are deceivers.
Yes.
And I believe that's happening.
It is. Well, the Bible tells us that Satan become a minister of light.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I remember when the super merger went through in the late 1980s, three Lutheran church bodies. And now today, if you go to those churches, it's so woke, and it's very hard-pressed to find a man in the pulpit, especially one that's a real straight man, and
yeah,
mostly women preaching in that particular denomination.
The same thing in other churches, too. Well, Joe, got to jump, but thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, sure thing, Butch.
Thanks, Carl. Appreciate it.
You too. Well, bye.
Folks, the lines are open. 717-300-1698. 717-300-1698. Again, maybe some of y'all may really get angry. Well, that's fine. I mean, really, that's fine. At least I got you to the point that bothers your conscience. If it hurts your feelings, it may make you understand that you ain't growing up yet. That's a fact. I don't care about your feelings. I don't. I care about your soul. Your feelings can come and go, but your soul is what's more important. If Christ would care about people's feelings, they wouldn't crucify him, because he wouldn't say anything that upset him. He wouldn't call the preachers of his day the sons of the devil. He would never do that. He would reverence them and respect them like your preachers today, because after all, they're men of God. That's what the people thought then. They're being fleeced, but that's what they thought. When Christ exposed him, they crucified him for it. See, there's a lot of things, folks, that I've learned over the years, and I'm not a fast learner. I'm really not. I've learned a lot, but it took a lot of years to get it, to understand it. We offer books in the ministry here on exposing Christmas and what it really is, and Easter and what it really is. We offer books here exposing what the Catholic Church is all about. Oh, we do. I'm serious. And the Mormons, we offer books here on how to talk to your Mormon friends, how to talk to your Catholic friends, and how to talk to your Jehovah's Witnesses friends. We have awful little books. They're here, available. I had one special a while back, and I think 5 or 6 people may order the books. I don't know. We still have them available in the catalog. If I forgot about them in the catalog, you call and ask about them. If you want to talk to your Catholic friends, Mormon friends, Jehovah's Witnesses friends, tell them the truth, and know what you're saying, and have the proof to show them what you're saying, I have the book to make it. It's just a small booklet. You have enough there to convince them, perhaps, if they're willing to listen, they're going down the road to hell. But I don't know. You would think that all the thousands of people listening to this broadcast, that they would flock to this. Maybe most of them already know all this. I hope they do. But you would think that people would flock to know the truth about the cults all around us. But they don't. They don't want to hear about the cult in maybe their denomination. And by the way, do you know the denominations, or the word sex, S-E-C-T-S, means heresies in the Bible? 2 Peter chapter 2, I think verse 2. Read it for yourself. When it says heresies, it means denominations and sects. He said in the last days that would be one of the corrupt things of the church. It was split into denominations, and no longer be in one mind or one accord. That's what it is today. We're seeing it happen as we speak, and it's getting worse every day. Let's go to Tom in Georgia. Tom, come on in. Welcome.
Hey, Pastor. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I can hear you.
I just wanted you not to feel lonely, and I thank you for what you do. Do you remember when Christ was on the hill and he was preaching to the people, and they got into an argument about Abraham, and he started telling them, you know, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and they said, who are you? You're 30 years old, and you don't, you think you know Abraham? And he said, before Abraham was, I am. They picked up rocks, and they were going to stone him right there and throw him off that cliff. But he became invisible to him and just walked right through him.
That's true.
All right. Do you remember Dmitri Dudeman? At certain points, he got stopped.
He got stopped
in his car, or they came in his house and looked in his closet, and they said, Dmitri, where's the Bibles? He said, they got me. I'm going to give it them up. And he said, they're right there. And he opened up his trunk or opened up his closet, and they looked at him, and they were like, Dmitri, why are you messing with us? Where are the Bibles?
That's right. That's very true. That poor man had been beaten so bad that he was deformed.
Absolutely. He couldn't use his fingers.
No, deformed.
But it's the same God. It's the same God today as yesterday.
And that story, Dmitri Dudeman, I interviewed his grandson on the program before. I mean, he left his country in Romania, couldn't speak English, didn't want to come over here, sold everything he had 2 weeks before God told him when he had to leave. God said, you're leaving. He started selling his property off 2 weeks before that, and 2 weeks later, God told him how you're going to leave the country. Now, that's the truth.
Unbelievable. That's a testimony, and it's all on YouTube, and you can look it up. Dmitri Dudeman, if you try to spell it, you'll get it right. you'll find his testimony. You need to look at it. But you were talking about the Civil War earlier, and I'll just say, do you know how much Robert E. Lee cried when West Virginia left? He wanted that high ground. He wanted those mountains so bad. But you notice he didn't organize the Confederacy to go in there and kill everybody to take it back.
No,
he understood the necessity for people to be organized on their own and make their own decisions. And he respected West Virginia's right to break off. Lincoln, on the other hand, he said, you know, if you leave, I love you so much, I'm going to come down there and kill you.
That's right. That's right.
And that's what he did. So, Italy had a civil war at the same time, 61 to 65, they didn't have black people in their country. It was about the agrarian, rural society versus the economic, you know, the bankers and the manufacturers,
yes. The same thing. Same thing happened in our country. Same thing.
Yep. That was it.
It's all about control.
It.
Well, thank you, Tom, for the call. We're right out of time, but thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Pastor.
Thank you so much. And, folks, you tell the truth. That's the one about slavery. That become a side issue after Lincoln had no other hope to get to rally people over the rights of the South. But nonetheless, different ballgame, different topic. But our nation needs people like you. I'm talking to you now, to stand up. No, we can't turn America around. But some people out there in your neighborhoods, your own children, grandchildren, may want to see Papa or Mama stand for the truth and become an influence in their lives. I don't know how to put it. You're not going to answer to me. You're not going to answer to the government. You're not going to answer to the Supreme Court. Well, eventually the Supreme Court, but not on earth. How you live and how you dedicate yourself to God today is the only chance you're going to have. You don't get to do this over again. This is it. You decide who you're going to serve. I messed up. I got entangled in a cesspool of society through all kinds of things, including Social Security that I worked for and paid for years. I tangled up in it. I'm dependent just like you are. But I'm still going to tell the truth. The worst they can do is kill me. But yet that's the best they can do. My life is not that dear to me, folks. I'm not perfect by any means. But I'm not going to deny Christ to save my life. That's all there is to it. We love you. By the grace of God, see you tomorrow night with Diana Ketterman. A lot to talk about then. Y'all, please have a good night. But folks, let's stand together. Let's make a difference in Jesus' name. Good night.
On the battlefield, Satan's armies come to kill. This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.